counting down, about to put the anchor down. Hotty toddy, who's it gonna be? Cowbells and swamp.
Oh, you know what that music means. Yeah, 2 to 6, every day, Monday through Friday. Paul Feinbaum Show. And Paul now joins us. He's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, guys. How are you?
Well, we had an interesting first segment discussion that we said, this has got to roll right into Paul. I mean, this is right up his alley, and this is just my belief, and you can tell me if I'm off my rocker. It won't be the first time somebody has said that, or if I'm on to something. I don't believe for a minute. One, I don't think Nick Saban can be on site, even if they have him isolated somewhere. I don't believe that's a possibility. I don't think you can risk having him on site. So if Nick Saban can't be a part of this game remotely, virtually, however you want to phrase it, if he can't be a part of this game against Georgia somehow, some way, I don't believe for a minute the SEC plays this game. I believe we're going to be talking about a rescheduled date. Crazy, or am I on to something?
You know, I am a talk show host and not an accredited, licensed psychiatrist, so I always hate to call somebody crazy.
But
but I think you are. you're right about part of that. If he tests positive again, he'll be tested every day, and unless all of a sudden he goes three straight negative tests, he won't be at the game. And if he's not at the game, he won't be part of it. I mean, the rules are pretty strict now. Do they apply to him? That's another story. But I think the danger of calling the game off are manyfold. Starting with the fact it's the biggest game of the year in college football. And what means more than almost anything else? Money. And the game's in prime time on CBS. And I know you can say, well, you could reschedule the game on December 12th and have just as much effect. But maybe you can't, because if it turns out that we miss a bunch of games, or we miss a few games, and Alabama and Georgia are already penciled in for the SEC title game on December 19th. Do you really want to see the game the week before as well?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You also need to leave some buffer, because, you know, already this week, you guys know it better than anyone. We've seen two games go down, and I don't think there's any danger of not having enough players for this game, frankly. I don't think that's really an issue at all. It could be the issue could be on the Alabama coaching staff, and I think that's where I would concentrate right now. You know, all you have to do is watch the video of last Saturday night's game. I mean, Nick Saban was in the face of Pete Golding, the defensive coordinator, for now, the entire night. I mean, mask or no mask. So he's in close contact with his staff, even more so than his team. So I'm curious to see that. And quite frankly, I don't say this jokingly, I say this very seriously, I think most everyone on the Alabama team has already had COVID.
Hmm. Well, we've been talking about this with you, right, for weeks. Like, when is it? It's not if, it's when it hits the SEC. And unfortunately, here in our market, I feel like we've been talking about too much COVID news, whether it's the Titans, Nashville SC, and now Vanderbilt being postponed. But I did want to ask you then, with that being said, then – When you look, Paul, you know, we brought up the Hugh Freeze, and I know it's a different scenario where,
sure,
I don't remember if he had the knee surgery, hip surgery, whatever. He was laid up. He couldn't walk the sidelines. He couldn't stand on the sidelines. They had him propped up in a hospital bed somewhere. But we've learned, as you know, from your employer, ESPN, SEC Network, they've called games remotely. Our own Willie Donick has called Predator playoff games this year remotely. And I did a pregame, postgame for the Predators through the playoffs remotely here at the house. So we're doing press conferences remotely. We're doing things we never thought we would ever do in 2020. So I guess the question is, if you want the game to go on as planned, then why can't they figure out a way and let him be a part of the game remotely? Why not? We're doing everything else remotely.
I think it has more to do with some protocols and rules. They may be NCAA rules. I've heard all this today, and I must tell you, every time I'm on a program with somebody and they start quoting NCAA bylaws, I just like tune out. So I heard part of it earlier today that the NCAA precludes it, and I think the SEC subscribes to that in terms of the 2020 COVID protocols. So I think that's it. Now, do we think that there's a possibility that Nick Saban is not going to be communicating somehow? Yes, I believe it, as you already pointed out. I mean, it's not that hard. I mean, the most nervous guy in the world would probably be the IT guy at Saban's house Saturday night, making sure that the Wi-Fi is working, because we've all been through it. I mean, I've done shows early in the shutdown, and a guy cut my cable on my street. So all of a sudden, it happens. I mean, Tom Hart last week on the SEC Network game in Atlanta, his power went out.
Jordan Rogers was doing the play-by-play.
Yeah, but one thing I can guarantee everyone in the area, however, whatever communication Nick Saban is using, legally or illegally, it won't go down Saturday night.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum. So, Paul, Chase brought this up when because I was watching your discussion this morning on Get Up about all this stuff, and Chase brought up the example of, wasn't there a game where Hugh Freeze at Liberty was in a hospital recovering from an injury and somehow was dialed in? If he could do that, is that separate? Is that different? Or is that, this is something?
I think so. It was either surgery or some reaction. Anyway, he was pretty sick. I remember talking to him about it. It looked like about to go have his wisdom teeth taken out. But the difference then was, I mean, we weren't talking about a global pandemic where, the rules specifically or, preclude you from doing it. So I think that's the difference here. And I'm sure, I interviewed Greg Sankey yesterday, and I didn't push him too hard because, the story was literally just breaking. But, optically, having Saban, who, whether he's asymptomatic or not, he could conceivably be highly contagious, would just be a very bad look in front of, 10 or 15 million people. But, I'm now to the point where I don't think anyone really cares what the optics on anything look like. I mean, Dan Mullen, he's had a great week. He recommends the Florida pack. The swamp with 89,000 people, and then 3 days later, the game that he wanted packed gets canceled. And that was three different times he refused to walk it back. And then yesterday, he acknowledged that some of his players had the sniffles on Friday, but he didn't think it was a big deal. Now, 7 months to the day that we've been into this, the sniffles could indicate a lot if you're paying close attention.
Paul, another thing that you guys covered this morning was a really interesting question down the road, and this is what makes sports talk fun, and that would be if this scenario goes forward as we think it will, and Nick Saban is not a full participant in the game, how would that potentially affect a discussion that could be very real, considering Georgia and Alabama could be considered for a playoff? The committee would have a lot of fun with that one.
Yeah, and I don't want to encourage people not to watch Saturday night. Everyone's going to watch. But I don't think this game is really that important. And I know that sounds like a dramatic statement, but, assuming this is a reasonably close game, the loser is still alive, no matter how you slice it. It's probably better for Alabama to win, because it's a home game. But, if it's 35-34 and they meet again in Atlanta and the result is the other way, there's still a reasonably good chance both teams will get in. So I don't think the Saban factor is that important, unless it's just a disaster. Let's say Georgia goes in there and wins 35-7, and then you could argue, and I'm sure it would, that not having the greatest coach in the game, had a deleterious effect on Alabama. But it will not determine the SEC. It's a great game, but it's the fourth week of the season.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum from ESPN and the SEC Network. And obviously the loser of this game that we're talking about is going to join the one-loss group. But when you look at the one-loss teams right now in the SEC, whether it's Auburn or Tennessee, Texas A&M, and, of course, Florida, being a part of that. Is there one that stands out to you that makes you think, all right, you've seen enough that they can hang with the big boys to possibly compete for the SEC title?
Yeah, I'd still have to go with Florida right now. And again, their defense is pretty bad, but I could go down the list of SEC teams and probably add about 10 or 12 more to that group. Right now, Georgia's the only defense that looks spectacularly good. And yeah, to me, Florida was probably going to beat LSU this weekend, and you know whether they'll beat them at the end of the year remains to be seen. But I think they're in the best shape. A&M is good. That was a huge win, but I don't think they can be consistent enough. And Tennessee was fairly disappointing in the second half. It looked like they just lost composure, and you know, it made us wonder what we've been wondering now for a long time: is Jared Garantano the right quarterback?
Yeah, and EME, I should have said, besides Florida, because obviously they're in that group. Did Ole Miss show you enough that Lane Kiffin is going to at least get that program to a respectable level before the season is over, outside of their defense?
No doubt. And you know, I know what the final score was, but that game was one bad snap away from maybe going into overtime. What was so remarkable was the fact that Lane Kiffin just out-schemed Alabama all night long. And the Alabama, you know, Saban has not had a good week. Saban after the game insinuated that Kiffin had stolen the signals, which you know would be ridiculous. The fact that Kiffin hasn't been on the staff since 2016, that they were still using the same signals. But if you watch the game and you know anything about Ole Miss, they call the plays at the line of scrimmage, as the previous play is ending. So it wouldn't matter if you had the playbook. They were that fast and that good, but they don't have a defense either. I mean, their defense may be the worst in the SEC or college football for that matter. But they will beat teams. They won't win every week, but they will be entertaining.
Did I see the stat right that was the first time a Mike Leach coach team had ever not had an offensive touchdown, offensive score?
I think you're right, I know a lot of people are saying I told you so. But this is the Mike Leach show we've all loved for his career. I mean, he did this at Texas Tech 5 times. Yep. He beat a top 10 team or top 20 team, and then lost the next week. I mean, Mike Leach is just inconsistent, and I'm still not sure what happened. I mean, I think what happened was they played LSU, and LSU's defense was badly outmanned the whole night too. So I mean, I know that sounds like I've said that about 5 teams, but the SEC is starting to look like the Big 12.
Yeah, defense has not been their strong suit to this point for sure. Paul, always appreciate the visits. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
A pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com. You're live and local mortgage expert. Good stuff as always. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.